107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Another day of protests and court action on the administration. A federal judge in Rhode Island has again ordered the administration to lift its pause on federal funding to states.
It's a stern order from federal judge John McConnell directing the Trump administration to immediately restore all frozen funding and lift any lingering pause. It's the second time McConnell has directed that outcome, and to underscore his seriousness, he begins with a quote from a 1975 Supreme Court opinion on the need for all orders and judgments of courts to be complied with promptly.
ABC Stephen Portnoy, the administration to appeal. A federal judge in Boston extended his order blocking the administration's buyout offer to federal employees. Deborah Lowe suing Milwaukee's Aurora Sinai Medical Center. During an operation last year, a surgeon found a feeding tube that had been left in Lowe since she had an emergency hysterectomy in 1989. This is ABC News. Southern California has had a few light rainstorms in recent weeks that have helped get the wildfires under control, but what's arriving later this week is sparking some real concern.
Over about a 36-hour period, with Thursday being the heart of it, the burn zones could get between 1 and 4 inches of rain. That's a lot for Southern California, especially in areas that recently burned where there is no vegetation to absorb the rain and the ground is fragile from the flames and prone to mudslides. Areas of the Sierra Nevada could get 5 feet of snow. But in the burn zones, work is underway to prepare the ground to try to divert water.
ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. Tens of thousands of Iranians mark the anniversary of the 1979 revolution, brandishing flags, balloons, and banners, and chanting death to America and death to Israel. But the show of bravado comes as crushing sanctions wreck Iran's economy and the threat of more from President Trump. The rial, Iran's currency, falling to a record low compared to the dollar. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in New Orleans, where the Eagles beat the Chiefs 40-22. Linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer, Wisconsin, and former Badger intercepted a pass just before the half that set up another Eagles touchdown.
When I'm relaxing with my family in Wisconsin, I'm going to think about where I came from, what I did, and where I'm going.
The Chiefs denied the chance to be the first team to win 3 Super Bowls in a row, quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I can't turn the ball over early in the game when it's not going our way, and I'll have to learn from that and try to be better the next opportunity that I hopefully get.
NBA, the Bucks with a win at home, 135-127 over the 76ers. Damian Lillard with a season-high 43 points.
I think I hit my first 2 threes, so, you know, obviously that's a good sign. You know, you hit those couple threes, it feel good. You see the ball go in early. The ball was moving. It was just a good flow to the game, so I felt good because of the flow of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dogman, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number 2 and 3 from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a week weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number four with just under $4 million in its eighth week of release, and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top five is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its second week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers this evening, maybe an inch, then clearing overnight and cold. Low around 5 above. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high in the upper teens. More snow showers possible Wednesday with accumulations, high around 20. Currently 21 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as judgments continue to mount up against the Trump administration. Also, why is the DOJ dropping criminal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're rejoining us, thanks for sticking around. I know everybody's been looking forward to this segment. I've got two experts on Head Start joining me this half hour for a very serious, very real discussion about how Donald Trump is dismantling Head Start, which is effectively childcare for the lowest income families, how he's putting us all at risk by doing that. But before we get into the serious business of today, I wanted to give my two very special guests the chance to weigh in on a lighter topic this afternoon. First of all, let me introduce you both. Casey Peaks is the Senior Director for Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome, Casey. Thanks so much for making time. Happy to have you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
And my other very special guest is Jen Bailey. She's the Executive Director of REACH, Dane County's Head Start Programming. Jen, thank you also for making time. You both have been very busy with all that is happening these days.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
So here's the light questions to start it off. We're doing a show poll, this show, asking all of our listeners to weigh in on who was the biggest loser yesterday, Seal, Drake, or the Kansas City Chiefs. Jen, I'll throw it to you first. Do you have a biggest loser favorite from yesterday?
As someone who didn't watch the game, I have to say the Chiefs. Sounds like it was a rough day for that team.
It was and I think that is a very safe choice, Jen. So I get it. And you have been very busy trying to save childcare in Wisconsin. So I understand why you need to carve out some time for the Super Bowl. Casey, who's your biggest loser from yesterday, Drake, Seal, or the Chiefs?
I have to say Drake. I think that was pretty brutal on top of the Grammys last week, also heavily focused on that diss track. So I'm going to go with Drake.
Yeah, Casey, I think I'm probably with it. It's hard. You ask me one minute. I re-listen to the Seal Mountain Dew commercial, and then I think he's the biggest loser. It changes. But if I had to make my bet would probably be with Drake. But ladies, let's turn now to the serious business of today's discussion with you both. First of all, Casey, let's just set the stage. What is the funding holdup for Head Start? And can you tell everybody, most people have heard the words Head Start. I don't think everyone knows what Head Start is and why it's so important.
Yes, of course. So I can start kind of just explaining what Head Start is, and then I can kind of give an overview of all that transpired last week, because it's kind of hard to follow. But Head Start is a federal program that provides childcare and also preschool services for children under age 5 living in poverty. It's a federal to local program. The federal government gives money to local grantees to provide these services for low-income families. And kind of as you said at the top, these are our lowest income families, most vulnerable children who desperately need these services, not just for childcare and preschool services, but they also get nutrition and other wraparound services if they're enrolled in Head Start. So it's just a critical resource for the families who are able to get those services. And last week there was, and I can't imagine, I can't believe it's only been a week.
I know.
But last week there was a memo that the Trump administration put out freezing all of these federal grant programs. And initially it looked like it did include Head Start because Head Start programs couldn't access their funds. A judge got involved saying that that freeze was illegal. The Trump administration also rescinded that memo. So they're saying that the freeze is done. They rescinded it, but we're still seeing that a lot of Head Start programs across the country and in Wisconsin are still unable to access those funds. And it's not really something that the Trump administration has been actively trying to get to the bottom of why those funds are still unavailable despite rescinding the freeze.
Yeah, my commentary here on this is another ham-fisted, completely sloppy, sort of wide-reaching memo that wasn't properly considered. Whether or not you agree with taking a very fine-tooth comb or a look at efficiency and effectiveness within government programmings, I think most of us can agree that's good. Let's increase efficiency. This wasn't that. This was just a wholesale attack on all kinds of grant, federal grants and funding programs. Often the programs that impact our most vulnerable within our communities, and certainly the hiccups, to put it mildly, but the complete freeze and isn't even coming impact of the withholding of Head Start funding has been really critical. Families are not able to put their kids into the Head Start program. Jen, I want to turn to you. You know a bunch about what's going on in Head Start programs in the state, specifically Dane County. Tell us, what have been the impacts of Donald Trump's freeze, not freeze, freeze again, maybe freeze, not sure what's happening, freeze, totally probably illegal, but they don't care about that freeze, freeze on federal grants.
Absolutely. The impact on the ground really has been chaos. The way our funding system works, every year Head Start programs get what's called a notice of award that says you are allocated X number of dollars to serve X number of kids and families. And that funding essentially lives in a cloud that we call our PMS system. And we have to draw down expenses in real time. So it's not the case that programs like Reach Dane and other Head Start programs get a check in the mail every year that here is your funding. We can only draw down the money as we have expenses. So we are very dependent on that system needing to work reliably. And up until January 28th, it always had. So we have expenses within 24 hours after we make the request, we have the funding available. And on the 28th, the funding was literally turned off in the night, totally unable to access the system. For Reach Dane, that was a payroll week, and we needed money to be able to pay our hardworking staff for time that they had already worked. So we ended up having to access a line of credit through our bank in order to make payroll because the funding was not available to us.
So to the best of your knowledge, Jen, and I have some information from both a press release and a letter issued yesterday by Senator Tammy Baldwin. Are there Head Start programs in this state that have shut down? Are there kids that aren't getting meals? Are there parents that cannot place their children into these childcare and early childhood education programs that may not be able to get to their jobs? And given that these are some of our lowest income families, are there people who may have been fired that are facing dire existential, frankly, family-threatening, life-threatening circumstances because of this stupidity from the Trump administration?
There was a program in Waukesha that did have to shut down for a period of time because they were not able to access funds. I can share a bit of a good news update, which I think thanks to all the advocacy from folks like the governor's office, from our local representatives, we have been able to get our funding request just this morning. So this morning, Reach Dane finally received the over $600,000 that we had been waiting for. I think we're all holding our breath because the true test will come with drawdowns to come. Yes. So once again, it's a payroll week for Reach Dane, and we are crossing our fingers and toes and hoping that the system continues to function as it's supposed to.
So Jen, are you saying that there remains pretty extraordinary concern about whether and when funding may or may not be available? Is it having an impact on ongoing operations? Have people pared back their employees? Have they stopped providing certain services, caps? Or are there any continuing programmatic impacts?
I think there definitely are. I think up until January 28th, we operated under the assumption that when we had funding that was awarded by Congress, already obligated to us, we're not talking about new dollars, that it would be available. And we no longer can operate under that assumption. And critical bandwidth from leaders like ourselves is now being taken up with managing cash flow. You know, is everything okay? Do we have our funds in place to be able to meet our expenses, rather than what we should be doing, which is focusing on providing the highest quality programming for kids and families? And I think many directors like myself worry, you know, the workforce situation in early childhood as a whole is hard. Yes. And will the uncertainty in funding, you know, make staff wonder, you know, should I be working for a Head Start? Do I need to be worried about my jobs? I had those conversations with some of our staff just this morning. So it makes what's already a challenging workforce situation even more challenging.
Casey, let me return to you folks. If you're just joining us, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined by two special guests this afternoon. Casey Peeks, who is the Senior Director of Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and Jen Bailey, who heads up Head Start in Dane County. Casey, how many kids are in the Head Start program nationwide? How many child care workers? What sort of system disruptions are now at risk?
Yeah, so a lot of children are served. I think estimates range from like just under 800,000 a year across the entire United States and, you know, over 200,000 staff across the U.S. So this is a large infrastructure. In a lot of states that have preschool programs, Head Start's also helping with the state pre-K. So this is really wide sweeping. I know that just in Wisconsin alone, I mean, there's over 70% of children under the age of 6 have all available parents in the workforce, which means that they need somewhere to be during the day. And yes. So services like Head Start are critical. So this is wide sweeping effects, not just Head Start, but the early childhood system in general. The crisis of like parents not being able to find care, disruptions, causes $122 billion in loss to the American economy every year. So when you mess with childcare, it has wide sweeping ripple effects to the local economy and just the broader economy in general.
Yeah, if your reason for voting is we want an economic engine, economic power, it doesn't work that way. If your reason for voting for Donald Trump was supportive families and middle-class families and folks that are struggling, it ain't working that way. We're going to come back with these very two special guests. Thank you, ladies, for sticking around for another segment, because we're going to dig in. This was actually part of an announced plan, the dismantling of Head Start. We're going to dig into what is actually going on here more deeply, how it's impacting you and your families, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Next. Hey, I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome if you're just joining us. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got two very special guests with me this afternoon. I'm joined by Casey Peek. She's the Senior Director of Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, as well as Jen Bailey. She heads up Dane County's Head Start program here in the state of Wisconsin. We're talking about Trump's dismantling of childcare, of the education system writ large. And I know a lot of families have been shocked by this. But Casey, I want to turn to you. This was actually an announced intention in Project 2025. Project 2025 explicitly endorsed the dismantling of Head Start, which is, by any objective measure, one of the most successful federal grant programs for early childhood education and childcare in the history of the United States. Casey, what do you say to people who say, well, I didn't know he was going to do this?
Yeah, so I actually wrote about this last summer trying to let people know. And I think if you didn't know, hopefully you know now that this is really the long-term plan for the Trump administration. And I think to your point of this isn't lowering costs for families. In fact, we know that childcare costs now for a lot of families is more than their mortgage and rental costs. So if you're trying to lower costs for families, I can't think of anything better than investing in early childhood education and making childcare more affordable, expanding access to Head Start. So to eliminate this program without any solution for an alternative is really going to hurt a lot of families and make their lives a lot harder and more expensive.
Well, I think one of the most important lessons to be learned here is, you have to pay attention not to what Donald Trump is saying, though he sometimes does tell you what he's going to do. You have to pay attention to what he's doing and what those who control these federal agencies are doing. And in this case, the attacks on Head Start have been part of GOP talking points for a long time. They wrote it down in Project 2025. It was there if you were curious enough to find it out, to read work from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Casey, as you point out. Jen, I wanted to return back to the state of Wisconsin and ask you,
What should people be doing if they are concerned about this approach from the Trump administration, that in the one hand, they say that they care about hardworking families, they care about childcare, but on the other hand, are doing everything that basically embodies the opposite of care for American families and hardworking families trying to access affordable childcare?
I think it's very important that people reach out to their local representatives to let them know that Head Start is an important part of their community, provides valuable services to some of the most vulnerable families, and many families rely on Head Start programs to be able to go to work, to be able to maintain employment. And I heard from one local representative that earlier this week, they received the highest volume of calls they had ever had. And I think that advocacy and people using their voices is a big part of the reason why programs like mine got funding this morning and will be very important in the continued fight to be able to maintain Head Start services.
Folks, if you're wondering how to contact your local representative, let me start with one of our state's senators. If you'd like the phone number to Ron Johnson's office, his Senate office in Washington, D.C., I've got it right here for you. Get your pen and pencil out, pen and paper out. Here is Senator Ron Johnson's D.C. phone number. Call them. Tell them to actually start doing things that support families. That's the Senate, as well as the Congress, should be protecting Head Start. Here's the number, 202-224-5323. That's 202-224-5323. And folks, we are going to put every single congressional representative for the state of Wisconsin and their contact phone numbers, as well as their emails, in our show notes for today. So we will go ahead and do all of that work for you, Civic Media listeners. You don't have to do it. Just give us a little time after we wrap today. Go check out my show notes at civicmedia.us/shows/Maggie Dawn Show. You can find all of this information there. We will put the DC office phone number for every single member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, senators and congresspeople. Call them and tell them what you think about this approach to early childhood education and childcare. It ain't working. Casey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell Wisconsinites and listeners what you think they should be doing and your final thoughts on these issues surrounding education more broadly.
Yeah, I think Jen is definitely right. Contact your elected officials. I think especially when we're not getting a lot of information from the administration, that's how Tammy Baldwin found out about how many Wisconsin Head Start programs were closed. It wasn't from the federal government. It was from Wisconsinites calling her office and letting her know what was happening on the ground. So definitely continue to do that. And then I think really think about what is most important to your family and making things more affordable for your family and your community, and also really looking at what are those supports that you know children in your own life and also your community needs. It's Head Start. We're also just seeing attacks on education more broadly. And yes. So I think to really explain to your local officials how those services that the federal government pays for really impact your life on a day-to-day basis and what it would look like if those services went away.
Folks, you're hearing from my two very special guests, Casey Peeks, who's the Senior Director of Early Childhood Policy at the Center for American Progress Fund. She knows of which she speaks. She was Director of Federal Policy and a Policy Advisor at the Children's Defense Fund. She worked on the House Committee on Education and Labor. She was a Federal Policy Analysis at the Child Care Aware of America, as well as the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. And she also taught kindergarten, so she's been right there on the ground. My other special guest, Jen Bailey, she heads up Head Start in Dane County and also was got involved with Head Start back in the early 2000s, falling in love with Head Start's mission, and that has been there now for 25 years, working up to the position as executive director. Ladies, thank you so much for your tireless advocacy. Folks, we're going to take care of some business and be back with Dom Salvia for In Case You Missed It, with Dom Salvia here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Another day of protests and court action on the administration. A federal judge in Rhode Island has again ordered the administration to lift its pause on federal funding to states.
It's a stern order from federal judge John McConnell directing the Trump administration to immediately restore all frozen funding and lift any lingering pause. It's the second time McConnell has directed that outcome, and to underscore his seriousness, he begins with a quote from a 1975 Supreme Court opinion on the need for all orders and judgments of courts to be complied with promptly.
ABC Stephen Portnoy, the administration to appeal. A federal judge in Boston extended his order blocking the administration's buyout offer to federal employees. Deborah Lowe suing Milwaukee's Aurora Sinai Medical Center. During an operation last year, a surgeon found a feeding tube that had been left in low since she had an emergency hysterectomy in 1989. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in New Orleans, where the Eagles beat the Chiefs 40-22. Linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer, Wisconsin, and former Badger intercepted a pass just before the half that set up another Eagles touchdown.
When I'm relaxing with my family in Wisconsin, I'm going to think about where I came from, what I did, and where I'm going.
The Chiefs denied the chance to be the first team to win three Super Bowls in a row, quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I can't turn the ball over early in the game when it's not going our way, and I'll have to learn from that and try to be better the next opportunity that I hopefully get.
NBA, the Bucks with a win at home, 135-127 over the 76ers. Damian Lillard with a season-high 43 points.
I think I hit my first two threes, so, you know, obviously that's a good sign. You know, you hit those couple threes, it feel good. You see the ball go in early. The ball was moving. It was just a good flow to the game, so I felt good because of the flow of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. What better time to announce new concert dates than after a couple billion people saw your Super Bowl halftime performance? Kendrick Lamar is doing just that as he announced new dates of his grand national tour, where he will be joined by SZA, who also joined him for part of the show at Super Bowl 59. The tour starts in April and tickets go on sale as early as this coming weekend. One of the great things about being homesick is you get to catch up on TV to the point where you're sick of it. But the least I could do is pass along a recommendation or two. If you like a good thriller, check out Don't Move. The film is directed by Sam Raimi and is about a girl who faces becoming completely incapacitated after being drugged as she tries to escape a predator in the woods. The film is only an hour and a half long and constantly moves. Really solid new film from Sam Raimi that you can check out on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers this evening, maybe an inch, then clearing overnight and cold. Low around 5 above. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high in the upper teens. More snow showers possible Wednesday with accumulations, high around 20. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
How will the most recent attacks on federal programs affect everyday Americans here in Wisconsin? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams coming up on the next show.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Monday. It is 3:30, and I'm always so happy to be joined by my good friend and yours, Dom Salvia, who's got the fine, fine program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for a little segment we like to call, in case you missed it. But it really should be titled Whatever the Heck We Want to Talk About would probably be more appropriate. Thanks, Dom, for hanging out with me and Aaron and Jamie this afternoon.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Hey, Jamie and Aaron as well. Wow, what a weekend, huh?
Yeah, a few things happening. We're gonna go through a number of them. But folks, if you have been listening to the show this afternoon, you know that there is a fine show poll going on. You're going to want to get in on that. And here's the question, Dom. We will register a vote for you in our show poll.
Okay.
Because I want to know, who was yesterday's biggest loser? The artist formerly known as Seal, who was married to Heidi Klum, who had Kiss from a Rose as a chart-topping single in the Batman Returns movie, at the apex of pop culture in the United States, who now just had his face superimposed on a seal in a Mountain Dew commercial. Ooh, that hurts. And it wasn't even a good commercial. It was just weird. Okay, so that's contender number one for yesterday's biggest loser. Contender number two, for obvious reasons, the artist from Canada known as Drake, who got trolled yet again by Kendrick Lamar. And thirdly, option three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Folks, if you want to get in your vote before we close this poll, just text the word Seal, Drake, or Chiefs to 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can go to civicmedia.us/shows/MaggieDawnShow and register your vote there. But Dom, what's your vote for yesterday's biggest loser?
Megan, that's a great selection, but I got to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. So yeah. I lost money on the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so I was at a Super Bowl party, and we're all kind of hanging out. You know, I love the underdog, but everybody at this party was like, yeah, go Eagles. Well, I mean, I like to have a little conflict here and there. So
Went with a buddy. You're a pot stirrer. Yeah, for sure.
Just to make a bet to have someone else cheer about something else. And so I begrudgingly took the Chiefs, and wow, they just got – they got it handed to them. And as bad as Drake may have felt, man, I got to tell you, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're feeling a little worse. With regard to the Seal, yeah, wow, what? That was strange. What I want to know is how much did he get paid for that? Because that would help, you know, ease the burden, ease the pain.
Assuage the shame. Apparently, there is a price for your pride and shame. It's whatever Mountain Dew paid Seal for that commercial yesterday. We got a lot of serious stuff to talk about. We got Trump with the 25% tariff on aluminum and steel. Everybody knew it was coming. I think just a matter of time. Hey, if you think houses are expensive now, just wait. Good Lord. That is a terrible bit of news for everyone in the middle class. Oh, yeah. We're in the state of Wisconsin. Are we the dairy state, Dom? Dairy?
Yes,
I think it's the dairy state.
We are, yes.
Oh, yeah. Donald Trump freezing the U.S. Department of Agricultural funding. You combine that with the tariffs and the increase on the tariffs in China and the soybean. This is not going to go well for American agriculture or Wisconsin dairy farmers, is it?
It doesn't seem like, and it seems, you know, Trump 2.0 is a lot like the first one. And, you know, like most movies, with the exception of The Empire Strikes Back, the sequel's always worse, and I expect this will be worse. Yep. And last time he tried this whole tariff thing with China, we ended up, you know, subsidizing our farmers to the tune of $20+ billion.
Billion.
Billion. That was just a giveaway to a lot of Trump voters, you know, around the election time. And I would expect
they hate that big government, except when the check is getting cut to them. Yes.
Don't they, though? So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't bode well. I see nothing in this go around that would make me think it's going to be any different than the last time around.
Yeah, terrible. Freezing the Inflation Reduction Act. How about that price of eggs? And how is that inflation? It's just all of it being revealed as a complete fig leaf for voters to vote for a rabid racist isolationist. Hamas announcing it's delaying the release of hostages. That peace accord looks to be on very, very shaky ground. Let's see what else. Oh, yes, they're cutting funding to the National Institutes of Health because, you know, we don't want cancer research. It's really bad. Oh, this one. This was a little tidbit I picked up. The national the NSA and our entire national security apparatus is really worried because of this, like, word scrubbing, this like language policing that Donald Trump is engaged in, because they can't have anything on any of their networks that use the words confirmation bias or privilege, despite the fact that in intelligence circles, confirmation bias is a thing you need to be aware of, as is this concept called privilege escalation, which means this very specific tactics our intelligence adversaries and just our world adversaries use to gain higher level permissions
right.
to networks.
Not,
we can't talk about that.
Being woke, you know, these are terms that are operational in totally different contexts, but they got a problem with the word. So what, they're going to scrub everything and then not allow these agencies to do their job?
I don't get it. I'm going to put some sense around it tomorrow. I'm going to do a really deep dive. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. If we zoom back out about what's actually going on, because so much of this is just completely ineffectual. It's not actually working. It's harming these very essential elements of our government, like cancer research, right? Like universities that depend on NIH funding to conduct cancer research and other life-saving medical research. It's hampering our intelligence gathering capabilities. It is hampering our military and our intelligence capabilities, full stop. All of that going on. And here's a thing, Dom, would it surprise you to hear that this isn't really what the Trump voter thought was going to happen? In fact, many of them are pretty ticked off about it. There is absolute tanking of Donald Trump in the polls. It is pretty amazing. Have you been watching some of this polling that's been coming out?
I have, Maggie, and he didn't start out great, lower than I think most modern presidents. And I don't think it's again, depending on which poll you're looking at on which day. But I certainly, since the start of his administration, he's been markedly going down.
Yeah, Donald Trump actually, this is according to Gallup, okay, like the poll of polls, began his term with the lowest job approval rating of any president since 1953, except for Donald Trump in his first term. That was the only one with a lower, so lower than Joe Biden, lower than Obama, lower than any president since 1953, with a job approval rating of 47%, and oh, his disapproval rating at 48%. Just to put this in context, Joe Biden entered the presidency in 2021 with a 57 approval rating and a 37% disapproval rating. It's only gotten worse since there. Only 26% of Republicans now think that Elon Musk should have a lot of influence in the administration. By the way, overall, that percentage is 13%. Shows you a bit of the partisan perception of Elon Musk's role in government. What do you think their strategy is? I mean, this isn't building any momentum for the midterms. This isn't, you know, actually helping Americans afford housing, daycare, childcare, elder care. It's not raising anybody's wages. I mean, what is the deal?
In a large part of this, I think, is this, you know, Donald Trump coming out and trying to flex his muscle because he can't get these things done through Congress. Congress is ineffectual. Congress has their own issues coming up. Mid-March funding supposed to run out, and then by the end of April we're supposed to have the appropriation bills done, or we're going to have a 1% across the board cut, which of course some Republicans probably want, but either way that doesn't bode well for getting a budget done, getting these things in order, and that's going to suck up all the oxygen in the room in like a couple of weeks. So if he doesn't do it now, make these actions now, you know, he's not going to get the coverage that he is getting now. And also, look at the efforts from those folks who are resisting, you know, unconstitutional orders, illegal mandates. You know, the courts are coming out left and right. It's hard to keep track of which state's attorneys general are suing on which topic, on which day.
Because basically, they're all coming. The Dems yeah. on a rotating, right. right? Like, it just yeah. depends on how quickly they can get signed up for the lawsuits.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's losing, right? Like, there's 45-plus cases. He hasn't won a single ruling in any of those cases. You mentioned Congress, Dom, and I think there is a really interesting line of analysis. And again, folks, I'm going to do a deep dive on this tomorrow in my show in the first hour. So look for that, everybody, about why would you go about doing these things in this way that you know the courts will largely undo when, oh, you're supposed to have both the Senate and the House and the Supreme Court and MAGA controls the White House. So why wouldn't you legislate it? And I've got some thoughts on that that go beyond Congress is a dysfunctional cesspool of partisanship with people like MTG in it. I think it's deeper than that. I'm going to talk a bit about that more tomorrow. Check this out. Americans overwhelmingly opposing the January 6th pardons, overwhelmingly opposing the Gulf of America's stupidity, overwhelmingly opposing the end to birthright citizenship, overwhelmingly opposing withdrawal from the World Health Organization, overwhelmingly opposing the idea of having raids, immigration raids in schools, hospitals, and churches, overwhelmingly opposing making it harder for Medicare to negotiate for lower prescription drug costs. This is all of these things. And again, this is a cross political spectrum. There's some variation about what people have heard of course, because folks in the faux news bubble aren't hearing about all this terrible stuff. But people also overwhelmingly opposing dismantling of FEMA. It goes on and on. On and on. This was a bit of an item worthy of note. Independents, 37% of independents believe that Trump's policies are going to raise prices for Americans. Notable. Guess what? Of 2024 Trump voters who are not strong Trump voters, okay, 35% of them are now worried about that. Sounds like a little bit of a different tune than what we were in November, doesn't it?
A little bit of F around and find out. And it is unfortunate. And it's not just the mega voters. It's even some of the Republicans in Congress are acknowledging that, yes, these policies are going to have a negative impact on you know what? A little bit of pain, I think Trump said, that, you know, the American people will have to take a little bit of pain to, quote unquote, right the ship or whatever it is that he's trying to do. And again, I still wonder, Maggie, how is this? What does success look like? Are we going to see a reduction in our debt and our deficit? I mean, what are we talking about here? Because the budget's been set. You know, if you're so concerned about these different budgetary items, what we're funding runs out in the middle of next month. Do it through the budget process. Get it yeah. done. Get it signed. I mean, if you're going to talk about the money and the budget starting from the people, it starts in Congress, starts in the House. Well, that's where you go. But of course, they are so dysfunctional, they can't even with their majority agree on what they want to agree on. So they're going to have to go to the Dems for some help on. I mean, and the Dems, of course, with this, the efforts by this administration are really don't have a working partner in that. What Bannon said, you got to be more partisan, right? And that's what they're trying to do. They don't want anything to do with the Democrats. So,
yeah, he's not trying to court any Democratic support for any of these policies.
No.
There's very little support in the American public for what he's doing when it's clear about it. I'm going to talk about the political tactics, right? The overwhelm, the shock and awe, the muzzle velocity, the flood, the zone of it all. Tomorrow, I'm going to break down what is actually going on, because Donald Trump, if anything, is a charlatan, a clown, a man that presents himself as one thing, but is in actuality another. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk about that anti-Christianity ego when we come back with my little buddy and yours, Dom Salve, who's got the great program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. This, however, is the Maggie Dawn Show. He's a special guest on it with me for this last segment of the day. Get your 2 cents, dime, nickel, or quarter in 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff, they just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's your last chance to get in on our show poll today. Who is yesterday's biggest loser? The artist formerly known as chart-topping Seal, the rapper who used to show his face in public, Drake, or the nobody can ever beat us in the Super Bowl Chiefs? Your options are Seek Drake and the Chiefs. Get it in 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We will give you the results of that poll before the hour is out. Donald Trump in a flurry of stupid things over the weekend. Not only is apparently like firing a bunch of people from the Kennedy Center board and appointing himself Grand Poobah of the Kennedy Center, which is just like in the list of petty, stupid things that he can do and waste his time on, like, you know, jacking the security clearance of Joe Biden, removing security details from people whose lives are actually under threat from a guy who almost was assassinated, right? Like, just super petty. The other super petty, lame thing he did was this stop discriminating against Christians as if that's really a thing. Anti-Christianity bias blockade something or other, blah, 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 executive order. Dom, what was your take on this hot mess? Yeah. Couldn't wait to ask you this one.
Yeah,
friend.
You know, it is a variation of something I say a lot. When are the rich white Christian nationalists in this country going to catch a break? You got to be absolutely
other than the January
me.
6th pardons.
Yes, yes, of course. I mean, it's certainly not a thing. And I wonder, you know, because I'm critical at times of the religion in general, but that's fine. I just wonder if, you know, my observations and my critiques are getting someone's, you know, religion privilege a little too close, because that's what the majority of people are in this country are Christians. And there is not, if people have a problem or take an objection to, as I do, religion, I have no religion. That is my only objection. And whatever people do to get through the day is entirely up to them. And I support them in that, whether they have a belief or no belief like me. For Donald Trump to go out there and, you know, what, meet for the base, I guess this is not a thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to me. And lest we forget who we're talking about here, as if Donald Trump actually knows what Christianity is about. Here's what he said about the fundamental, most core tenet of Christianity, the concept of contrition and forgiveness. Let's listen.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness? I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
Just to be clear, Donald Trump just said he's never asked for forgiveness. I mean, this guy is the one who's supposed to, protect Christianity. Dude, you don't even know what Christianity is all about. It is an insanity. And oh, by the way, I wanted to bring this tweet back up. The House GOP Judiciary Twitter handle back in 2022 legit just texted Kanye period, Elon period, Trump period. Should we revisit what Kanye has been posting on X lately? Let's see. Never apologizing for my Jewish comments. I love Hitler now. What swear word? I'm a Nazi. Hitler was so fresh. I'm going to normalize talking about Hitler the way they're talking about blanking has been normalized. He basically put porn up yesterday on Twitter. Like this is the Christianity that needs protecting, the Elon Nazi salute. That is anti-Semitism. Guess who's facing more anti-Semitic violent threats now because of Yi and Elon, right? Like, from what bias? Like, what's the great harm befalling Christians as you slam the Ten Commandments into classrooms across the country? I don't get it.
Well, they certainly are trying to, and there is pushback, and righteously so, because that should not be the case. And what religion do you stop if you want to start, you know, forcing religion into the public classrooms? And in the state of Wisconsin, we have a couple of state legislators that want to put In God We Trust in very specific letter size in all the classrooms. I mean, this is and this is from the Christian side. And we of those folks that are supporting that won't get into some of the detail. But he was very one of those folks was very critical, called a 13-year-old in a public hearing in Wausau on inclusivity, the F blank G word. Right. And ensued Wausau, the Daily Pilot went into that quite a bit. That's a story there. But point being is that that's not a very Christian thing to do, to my understanding. And let's not also forget, Miggy Dawn, Donald Trump stood up not so long ago and proclaimed that he, in fact, is not a Christian. He said the words, "I am not a Christian." So, you know,
well,
again,
no kidding. Right. I mean, you violate one of the Ten Commandments every day. You violate the Golden Rule every day. He's now they fired and then reemployed this little minion of Musk who wrote this past September. Yes, September 2024, that I was a racist before it was cool. Normalize Indian hate. You could not pay me to marry outside of my ethnicity. I'm sure that's what Jesus would do. I'm sure. Doesn't that, it makes total sense. Allie from Madison, thanks for your text about what was going on television last night on many of these issues. Cam from Appleton, I see you. One of our newish texters from the 920 texting, "I am a Christian and the MAGA party has no clue at all what it means to be a Christian. The Ten Commandments do not belong in classrooms." Ron from Milwaukee also bringing up some really important points that I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. The Nixon shock and the differences between what's going on now and then, as well as the Impoundment Act, Donald Trump's lawlessness, and what does it all mean? What is the big picture? You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. It's a vintage Maggie does a deep dive kind of approach. Keep it locked, though. Dom Salvia is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, do you think what Trump is doing is actually working? I'm going to break it all down about the real strategy and how it will impact you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
It's time for our great industries to come back to America. I want them back to America.
President Trump at the White House signing the order levying a tariff on imported steel and aluminum.
Protecting our steel and aluminum industries is a must, and today I'm simplifying our tariffs on steel and aluminum so that everyone can understand exactly what it means. It's 25% without exceptions or exemptions, and that's all countries, no matter where it comes from.
A federal judge in Washington, D.C. ruled the FBI must release some records related to the investigation of then-former President Trump's handling of classified documents. The case has since been dismissed since Trump won the election. In the Phoenix suburb of Scottsdale, Arizona, officials say a business jet veered off a runway and collided with a second parked business jet. Officials confirm at least one person was killed and three others hurt. A fourth refused treatment. This is ABC News. Russia. President Trump to slap tariffs on imported steel.